For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.
Great, welcome. Tonight's class is the first of Im Yirtzeh Hashem. We'll see how long the series, but I think a long series, on the topic called Davening with Meaning. And the topic is essentially to try to get a greater grasp of the davening that we're already doing. So I think and I hope that this class will be accessible to anybody who might want to come, even if they're not engaged in davening regularly. And I firmly believe that it will be meaningful to those who are already davening. And so if we err on one side, I think we would err on the first one, that we may not, it may be over the head of some people, but if it is, please, you know, the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, lo habayshan lamed, the one who is embarrassed from asking questions doesn't learn. So if I say something that's, you know, confusing or whatever, needs a little bit more depth or explanation, please don't hesitate. In the preparation, I just got so excited and so filled with so much material, but we're going to try, nevertheless, out of respect for our own responsibilities to daven shacharis in the morning, to be able to not stay here all night and have our students come in and say, our masters, the time has arrived for davening in the morning. This was born out of requests. There were multiple requests for classes that are a little different, for classes in specific. This class really does address exactly two specific requests for a class just like it. So that's what we're doing here. And the last word of introduction is that, as I mentioned to some of you who are already here before, that if for those who will be able to, there's a song that it's actually almost, I would call it pre-release. A friend of mine, a relative of mine, just recorded this song. And it touches very closely on the themes of what we're going to speak about tonight. Okay, so with those words of introduction, I think any class about davening begins with an understanding of what we're doing. What is davening? And so tonight we're going to talk in specific about the Thanksgiving bracha, modim. But before we get there, we have to understand what are we doing. And so the Rambam was the first and only encyclopedia of Jewish law, is called the Yad HaChazaka, or also known as the Mishnah Torah. The Mishnah Torah is actually its real name. It's also known as the Yad HaChazaka. It's Maimonides' organization of all of the Talmud into organized divisions. And one of the divisions is called the Book of Ahava, the Book of Love. Now, what is found in the Book of Love? What areas of halacha are found in the Book of Love? And this alone is a class. The areas of halacha found in the Book of Love are 6. The laws of Shema, the laws of davening and the blessings of the Kohanim, the laws of tefillin, mezuzahs, and Torahs, the laws of tzitzis, the laws of blessings, and the laws of circumcision. These are in the Book of Love. You wouldn't have necessarily named it that if you were, you know, the one. But when you realize what they are, and you realize that these are, as we called the class last year, these are the mechanics of the heart. I mean, this is an experience that the Talmud describes as serving Hashem with all your heart. That, of course, it belongs in the Book of Love. I've described this in the past as if you describe the details of what someone who loves another one does. He buys gifts. He comes home on time. She smiles at him across the room. Whatever you describe the details, none of those parts add up to what we call love. It would be very hard by describing activities to describe what love is. These would be symptomatic of love, but they wouldn't be love itself. And so too, davening is symptomatic of love. It's la'avdo b'chol avchem, to serve Hashem with all of your heart. And so here it is in this Book of Love, in the first chapter of the Laws of Davening, Maimonides describes it this way. He says, it's a positive command to pray every day, as it says, and you shall serve Hashem your God. The sages have taught us that this type of service is davening, is tefillah. And it says you should serve them with all your heart. The sages have told us what is the service of the heart? It is prayer. the number of prayers that we offer per day and the language of the prayers that we offer, these are not a Torah command. The Torah command is that you must pray once a day. But the language of it and the frequency of it is not a Torah command. And davening has no specific time according to the Torah. Therefore, women and servants who would normally be exempt from time-bound commands are obligated in prayer because it has no specific set time. It's not a mitzvah saseh shezman grama. It's not a time-bound positive command, according to Maimonides. Other authorities argue. It's not that. Rather, it is an obligation. The obligation is as follows. And here's the important part. That a person should pray, and mischanin means to supplicate. Every day. And magid shivcho shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Speak of the praise of the Holy One, blessed be He. The achar kach, and after this, shoel tzarachav, excuse me, tzarachin. He should request the things that he needs, shehu tzarach lahem, that he needs those things. Bevakasha uvitchina, with a request and with a supplication. The achar kach, and after this is the most important part for us tonight, no sein shevach vehodaya lahashem al hatova sheishpia lo. He should give shevach, praise, and hodaya, thanks, to Hashem on the good that he has given over to him or brought rain down from heavenly influence upon him. Kol echad ve'echad kefi kocho. Each individual according to his ability. The Rambam goes on to say that people lost this ability, and so the sages established the prayers as they are because they knew that people do not master the language of prayer. By the way, they also did us a great favor. This is another conversation for another time. But there's many business books that describe the power of the turnkey revolution, okay, which is what happened in the second half of the 20th century when franchises became very popular and how businesses could grow by having a manual that runs a franchise, right? Sounds familiar, Dr. Dean?
Yeah.
When I read the first book I ever read on this notion of the turnkey revolution of franchises, I realized that there can be no doubt what the first franchise ever was. The first franchise ever was the local shul. Mm-hmm. They all run exactly the same way. They all have the same rules. With very little, you're right, but with very little to negotiate. In other words, yeah, you can have a speech here or not, but you can't have a speech there. You know, you got to say Yikum Purkan on this kind of day. You don't say it on these kind of days. We skip Anarachamim here or there. There's seven aliyahs on this day. There's six. We're up to this parsha. You go someplace else, we're up to that parsha. And you know what comes from that? Unbelievable. By Ezra establishing the first franchise model, which was everywhere where the Jews will go, follow these rules. And you cannot deviate from the manual, except in little tweaks. But basically, you can't deviate from the manual. He made the most powerful thing, which is you can have the same experience all over the world. And that's what non-traditional Judaism really is one of the major things that it lacks, is that you don't know what you're going to get. But in Torah Judaism, give or take a little bit, you find yourself anywhere on the planet this coming Shabbos, I promise they'll finish the book of Bereishis. I promise. Not a question. In thousands of locations worldwide, where the languages that the people speak are all different. Amazing. So again, like I said, that's a conversation for another time, but it's breathtaking, the power of that throughout history. What a favor they did for Klal Yisrael, that if you can handle the prayer book, you know, have talent will travel. You can take it with you wherever you go. It's really an amazing thing. So now, back to the ranch. All that was in order to create a situation where people who were now being spread out into the exiles and did not know how to do that would have a manual by which they could do that. And the language of the sages, and among them prophets, that they placed into the Sidur, captures all of the needs and all of the desires and all of the praise and all of the things for everybody throughout history. And from there we depart, sometimes in our own language. But in those phrases, we have to deal with what did they codify and canonize forever for us to use. Wherever we go, there has to be tremendous power in it. But the point for us is that they were fulfilling a three-part responsibility when they made the long prayer called Shemona Esrei. They were fulfilling these three parts. Magid shvacho shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You should speak of the praises of God. Keep that word in mind, shvacho. It's the word shevach. and then shoel tzrachin shehu tzarich lehen bevakasha uvetchina, and then ask for things that you need with request and with supplication. V'achar kach, and after that, no sein shevach, same word as before, give praise and hodaya and thanks to Hashem on the good that He has reigned into each life, each one according to his ability. So that's what they're trying to accomplish. So in Shemona Esrei, in our experience of davening, the first thing that we do is we praise. The next thing that we do is we request. And the last thing that we do is we praise and thank. Shevach and Hodeah. We praise and we thank. Tonight, our exploration is going to be on this consistent praise and thanks. This last part that appears in every single Shemona Esrei, in every prayer, every day. In every one of the prayers that we offer, the first three are the same, and the last three are the same. It's the middle that's different, as you all know. So what's going on in this last group that it fulfills this responsibility of no saying shevach v'hodaya la Hashem? He gives praise and thanks to Hashem regarding the good that God has influenced in his life. So to answer this question, and really a lot of what we're discussing tonight, comes from the experience I had when I was learning in Baltimore in the yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, where I was privileged to be a student for 7.5 years. When I came there in 1995, somehow, I don't know, I actually don't know how this happened, I have no idea. Somebody told me, after Mincha, on such and such day, I think it was Tuesdays, after Mincha, I think it was Mondays, after Mincha, when we're supposed to study the Musar Seder, which means we had like a half an hour dedicated to works like the Path of the Just and otherwise before getting back to the Talmud. On that specific day, Rabbi Eisenman gives a class in his office on davening. So somebody whispered this in my ear, and I came to Rabbi Eisenman's class, and I was there for, I think, about 2 years, every week on that appointment, as long as I was disciplined enough to go and remembered or whatever it may have been. But I went to a lot of classes there, and much of my appreciation for davening was born out of there. Now, Rabbi Eisenman has a very close familial connection to this shul because our own Chani Honig is the daughter of Rabbi Eisenman's brother. Okay, there was another Rabbi Eisenman who was the principal of the day school in Minneapolis, and while his brother was a Rebbe in Baltimore in the yeshiva, and that's Chani Honig's father. Her maiden name is Eisenman. So I'm talking now about her uncle. But he had a great influence on my davening. And he also published a work on this that was the basis of his talks. And this work was called Iyunim B'Tfilah. It was written in 1974, and by 1996 or so, when I wanted a copy, it was totally out of print. So he photocopied the whole book for me. And this is the photocopies that he gave me of the whole book, which was a great thing, you know, and I still have it. So I heard these things orally, but they really came from his writings. I mean, came from his thought. So here, he says that the source for Maimonides describing the end of the davening as praise and thanks, the source of it is from a sifri. The sifri is the words of the sages that they wrote as midrashim that describe halacha. And here the sifri near the end of the Torah says the following words. The Torah tells us that Moshe, whenever he began speaking, only began with the needs of the Jewish people at the beginning. He never began the needs of the Jewish people at the beginning until he had begun by praising God. Ad shepasach bishvacho shel makom. Until he started with the shevach, the praise of God. And then, chazar v'chatam b'shivcho. He ended, he returned, and again concluded with his praise. And so it is with Shemona Esrei, the Sifri says, that the sages established that Jews should daven, and they should begin not with the needs of Yisrael at the beginning. First, they should praise Shvacho Shel Makom. They should open with the praise of God. As it says, Hakel HaGadol HaGibor VaHanora. Those are the opening words that we say, God is great and mighty and awesome. And then it continues, V'achar kach modim anachnu lach. And after, they should say modim anachnu lach. So modim anachnu lach fulfills this obligation of shevach, of praise. We know it to fulfill also thanks. And we're going to try to bring some clarity to what is this meaning of thanks and praise. Any questions so far? Okay, then let's continue. The Talmud says in Maseches Brachos, I think it's on Daf Lamed Daled 34, Talmud says that when a person prays to God, he's like a servant who comes in and he praises the one who he's asked for, and then he requests, and then while taking leave, he's saying thank you. What that teaches us is that all three of the last three brachos are connected to this notion of saying thank you. In fact, halachically speaking, the last three brachos are a unit. So that if one makes a mistake in any of them, he has to go back to the beginning of all three. And so, but we understand, for those who are familiar with this, the last three brachos, the first one begins with the words ritzei. Okay? And ritzei, I'm going to read it to you more in depth in a minute. And in fact, I didn't bring in a sitter, so I'll ask one of you at some point to pass me one. Okay? But ritzei, the sages refer to as the bracha of avoda, of the service of God. The next one is called modim, which the sages refer to by the single word hoda'a, thanks. And the last one, which begins with sim shalom, bring peace, the sages refer to as shalom, birchas shalom.
What about the psukim in between, like the psukim in between ritzei and modim, and between modim and...
Right, so there's nothing in between. Ritzei is the beginning of a blessing, and until that ends, v'sechazena is all part of one blessing, part of ritzei. Okay, so now, in fact, you wouldn't see it as in between if there wouldn't be for Yalav V'Yavo being inserted sometimes. Otherwise, it would be printed right next to each other. Okay, so now, how is it that this blessing that's asking God to restore the service of the temple is part of saying thank you? How is it that Sim Shalom at the end is part of saying thank you? We get that the middle of these three blessings is about saying thank you, because the language says modim, it says nodelecha, as we'll explain a little bit later. These are words of thank you. But how's the first part and the third part of this fulfillment of I am taking leave while offering my thanks? How is that the case? So the answer to this is in a Gemara. The Talmud says in Maseches Megillah, and this is really a worthy read sometime, it's on page 18, Yud Ches Amud Aleph, 18a. The Talmud describes how the sages established the order of the entire Shemoneh Esrei. How it is that they came to organize the Amidah, the silent prayer that was initially made up of 18 blessings, but was subsequently added into a 19th blessing. And they said the following words. They said, basically the source of each of these is a flow of verses, where one verse flows into another, and there's hints to the nature of the first blessing, and then there's a hint to the nature of the second blessing, and this was the basis of which the sages established the order of the Shemoneh Esrei. So here they say like this. Once you come to davening about the service of the temple, you come to saying thank you. Because the verse says, Zoveach toda yichabdineni. The one who offers, in the offering of a sacrifice, a thank you is honoring me. So since there's offering of a sacrifice and then a thank you, that's the flow. So why did they say the blessing of Kohanim, which we say, you know, on Yontif, or even in our repetition, we allude to it. Why did that come after the blessing of thank you? This is a very important point. It says because the verse says that Aharon lifted up his hands and blessed the people when he came down from offering the offerings. So the Talmud says, then let him say it before the offerings, before the service of the temple. It says, no, it shouldn't be before the service of the temple, because it says when he came down from the service of the temple, that's when Aaron offered his blessings. Now this is a little confusing, so let's be clear. There's a blessing about the service of the temple. It's followed by a thank you. That is then in turn followed by the Kohanim saying their blessings. But the Talmud says that the verse tells you that Aaron gave blessings after they finished the service of the temple. So on this, the Talmud asks an obvious question. Then let the blessings of the Kohanim happen immediately after the service blessing, before the thank you. If it says that Aaron blessed them after the service, and if Ritzei is about the service of God, then let it come, and Aaron's blessing should come in there before the thank you. To this, the Talmud says, it seems from here that Avoda and Hoda'ah, service and thank you, chada milsahi, they are one thing. If I know that Aaron's blessing should be after the service, but yet thank you is inserted in the middle. That means to tell me that the notion of serving God and the notion of saying thank you is one thing. So Aaron's blessing coming after the service comes after the one thing, which is service and thanks. Now that was maybe a little confusing. Does anybody have any questions so we can clarify this point?
Are you saying that service is thanks?
That's what it seems like. In other words, avoda, serving God, and thanking God are one thing. Mm-hmm. That's what the Talmud's telling us. So therefore, the blessing of Aaron can only come after service, but service includes thanks. So that's why the blessing of Aaron comes after the thank you blessing. But this opens up our eyes to the big question. What does that mean? What does that mean that service and thanks is one thing? We're going to leave for another time where the blessing on peace fits in. That's not for our discussion tonight. Okay, why do we have to say the blessing on peace after?
Could you go over that once again? Why is restoring the Holy of Holies, which is in the Ritzay prayer, how does that tie into thanks?
Okay, let's leave that as the question for the moment. Okay? But it explains something interesting, actually, which is that there are four times that we bow in Shemoneh Esrei. We bow at the very beginning. We bow at the end of the first blessing, Magen Avraham. We bow again at Modim. Mm-hmm. And we bow at the end of the blessing of Modim, which you don't necessarily think of as the end of the blessing of Modim, because there's a lot of gray boxes in the middle. All right? But the end of the blessing of Modim is Baruch Atah Hashem, Hatov Shimcha Ulechana El Hodos. Good is your name, and to you it is pleasant or befitting to offer thanks. So we do at the beginning and at the end of the first blessing, and at the beginning and the end of Modim. Mm-hmm. So if we establish for the moment, which I skipped saying before, that Sim Shalom, the blessing on peace, is something separate. It's something, look, we'll call it after for now. It's the beginning of after davening in a certain sense. Then it makes sense why we bow where we bow, because we bow at the beginning and at the end. But the Modim is the very end of prayer, followed by a request from God. I'll just hint to this. Followed by a request from God to do his part. In other words, the Kohanim say, I'll bless the congregation. And then Hashem responds, Va'ani avarachem, and I'll bless them too. So after Birchas Kohanim, we ask God to bless us. But we bow at the beginning and we bow at the end. So this Modim is a big thing. This Modim is a very big thing. It encapsulates all of davening, and it's connected to whatever all of restoration of the divine service into the temple in Jerusalem is. Daniel.
According to that, why wouldn't we bow and say it's supposed to be Modim?
Because Modim is the final bracha. Modim and what's it called? They're both one thing, but they're different. But they're different. We'll see how they're different also.
Then again, we also bow in Yiratzon at the very end.
Yeah, but that was added later. That was added later. Okay, so now, in order to understand this question, and now I'll borrow a Sidur from somebody. Maybe I can borrow yours with that. Okay. Thank you. In order to understand this whole complex construction we just created, we have to ask another question. We just established that Ritzay, this blessing of Ritzay, and Modim are one thing. But let's take a step back. In the very final blessing of request, final blessing of request. Oh, this is not the right Shemoneh Esrei. Okay. In the final blessing of request, this is what we say. Hear our voice, Hashem our God, pity and be compassionate to us, and accept with compassion and favor. I happen to be on 242, but there are several places where this is it. Now, pity and be compassionate to us, and accept with compassion and favor our prayer. For God who hears prayers and supplications are you. From before yourself, our King, turn us not away empty-handed. For you hear the prayer of your people Israel with compassion. Blessed are you, Hashem, who hears prayer. Now that is called by the sages acceptance of prayer. And what we're asking for at the end of our requests is, please, God, accept our prayers. I'm going to read that portion again. Hear our voice, pity and be compassionate, and accept with compassion and favor our prayer. For God, you are the one who hears prayers. So that can be described as hear our prayers, accept them. Now, Ritzay is the very next paragraph, which is no longer part of request, it's part of thanks. And it reads like this.
Be favorable, Hashem, our God, toward your people Israel and their prayer, and restore the service to the Holy of Holies of your temple. Fire offerings of Israel and their prayer accept with love and favor, and may the service of your people always be favorable to you. That's also a request for the acceptance of prayer. Be favorable toward your people Israel and their prayer. Accept their prayer with love and favor. What's the difference?
Where's the thanks?
And where's the thanks? Right? Like, it has nothing to do with thanks. It's just a repeat of what we just said, or so it seems. One is requesting that God listen to our prayer, and the next one is asking that God listen to our prayer. How does that make any sense? So to answer this question, we have to understand that the word modim means more than one thing. And this, I think, is maybe the biggest breakthrough idea that we'll learn tonight, because this is a real practical one that you can take with you every time you open. I would tell you, from the time I heard this from Rabbi Eisenman, when I'm paying attention, which I think is most of the time. Okay? In other words, there's all kinds of halachas about what if you don't know whether you said Yalla V'yava, whether you don't know whether you said the Saint, any of these additions. And those who daven with us in the shul regularly have heard me say this many times. If you daven with us during the weekdays, I said, let's first establish that that's embarrassing. Before we come to what the halacha is, let's first establish that you were just speaking to God and you have no idea what you said. Right? Let's not flippantly pass that by. That's a terrible thing. I'm guilty of it too. I am. You know? So, but when I'm paying attention and I hear and I say the words modim anachnu lach, and I'm thinking of their meaning, this learning changed everything about how I understand what I understand it to mean. So let's look at that paragraph. Modim anachnu lach sha'atahu Hashem Elokeinu ve'elokei avoseinu le'olam va'ed. I am not going to translate the word modim here. All I will say is that we are modeh, whatever that means. Okay, we are modeh. I'll come to the meaning later. That you are Hashem, our God, and the God of our forefathers forever. Tzur chayenu magen yishenu atahu l'dor v'dor. The rock of our lives, the shield of our salvation, you are for every generation. The next word is nodeh lecha. Nodeh lecha is the exact same root as modim. Okay, nodeh lecha. I'm not going to tell you what that means. We are modeh, whatever that means. We will be modeh. Unesaper tilasecha, and we will tell of your praises. Al chayenu hamesurim yadecha, upon our lives that are handed over to your hand, val nishmosenu hapekudos lach, and upon our souls that are given over to you, val nisecha shebechol yomimanu, and upon the miracles that are every day with us, val niflosecha v'tovosecha shebechol eis, and the wonders and kindnesses that are always here. Erev avoker v'tzarayim, evening, morning, and afternoon, hatov, he is the good one, ki lo chalu rachamecha, because your compassion never ends, v'amerachem ki lo samu chasadecha, and the compassionate one, or the merciful one, because your kindnesses never end. May olam kivinu lach, forever, we have always put our trust and our desire in you, our hope in you. I didn't translate the word modim. It begins with, we are modeh. Later on it says, we will be modeh, and we will speak of your praises. What do these words mean? What does it mean? So if you look in the translation, and I say this with really unbelievable respect and immense trepidation. I don't like when people say things like, I know better than the translator. Okay? Because the translator is a massive scholar, and this is the number one best-selling book in the history of the Jewish people. Okay? I'm not just saying that. That's a fact. That the Aruch Scroll Siddur is the number one best-selling in the history of the Jewish people. Okay? So, I don't know better. But I learned something else. I learned something different than the translation that says here, we gratefully thank you, for it is you who are Hashem, our God, and the God of our forefathers for all eternity, rock of our lives, shield of our salvation, are you from generation to generation. We shall thank you and relate your praise for our lives which are committed to your power and for our souls that are entrusted to you, etc. Both times that modeh appears here, it says thanks. We thank you, and we shall thank you. The word modeh has two meanings. Does anybody know another meaning besides the word thank you?
It means admit.
Admit. Very good. Very good. Well, that's the same as thank you, right? But let's go with this admit for a second. The Mishnah says that there's arguments between between early authorities called Tanoim, the authors of the Mishnah. This one says this, and this one says that. For example, Beis Hillel says this, and Beis Shammai says that. But sometimes the Mishnah ends with a phrase, Umodim Beis Hillel, but Beis Hillel admit or agree, right? They concede in such a scenario, whatever it may be. They concede that if this is the detail, then it means this. That definitely does not mean, but Beis Hillel thanks. They're not thanking Beis Shammai. Or Beis Shammai thanks, or the Rebbe Meir thanks Rebbe Yehuda. It doesn't mean that. It means they admit or they concede. What's the difference? How do you know the difference? Well, the answer is that in Hebrew, like in English, some words can mean two different things depending on the preposition or prepositional phrase that follows. For example, in English you might say, I read to the child. I read to the child means that I read a book or an article or whatever to a child. If the word to is missing in that phrase, I read the child. It either means that I read a book or article or otherwise published thing called the child, or I saw what was going on and I saw the child's face and I read the child. Mm-hmm. But the sentences are totally different because of the change in preposition. Mm-hmm. Totally different. In Hebrew, properly spoken in Lashon Kodesh, meaning historically, and even people who are careful today will do it this way. A good Hebrew teacher will mark this wrong if somebody says, when they say thank you about something, if they use the prepositional character she after, it's a mistake. When you are modeh she, when you are modeh that, it's not a thank you. Is it a thank you? It's not a thank you. Modeh she means I admit, or I concede, or I agree, or I submit. Modeh she. By the way, here's a breakthrough idea. First thing you think in the morning. Modeh ani levanecha melechai v'kayam. But it doesn't say le. Modeh ani levanecha, in front of you, melechai v'kayam, shehechazar tabi. That you return to me my soul. That means I recognize, I admit, I concede, I'm aware that you gave me back my soul. Now that should evoke thanks, but it doesn't mean I thank. Because the prepositional letter she never means thank. Now, so therefore in our case, modim anachnu lach, we recognize Shatahu Hashem Elokeinu Elokei Avoseinu Olam Ve'ed, that you are Hashem and the Father, and you're the God of myself, God of our forefathers forever. Tzur Chayenu Magin Yeshenu Ata Olador Vador. You are the rock of my life. You are the guardian of salvation. There's a better word for that. Shield of salvation for all the generations. Now it says, No Delecha Unesaperti Lasecha. Al chayenu, the prepositional phrase al, the Hebrew word upon, on, is the proper word that you say after the verb thanks. When you want to thank someone, actually, as people say now, toda shebatem, thank you that you came. It's not correct. It's toda al shebatem. It's thank you upon the fact that you came. Regarding. You cannot follow a thank you in properly written Hebrew with a sheh. It has to be followed with an al. Okay? And in English, of course, there's never-ending examples of a similar vein. You know, you can't describe that you stayed at someone's house by saying that you stayed by someone's house, right? You know, it's not a proper English phrase, although it's extremely popular with a limited number of Eastern European Jews. Okay, so now, actually it comes from Yiddish, because in Yiddish the phrase doesn't go like that. So now, it changes everything. So now we understand this sentence for the first time. We understand that the words of Modim recognize, admit, submit, concede that you're the master. You're in charge. You're the author. And therefore they compel us to say thank you. They compel us to say thank you. Recognition is an automatic lead-in to thanks, and thanks is a function of recognition. Really, thanks and recognition is one thing. That's why they're both described with the exact same word. By the way, vidui is also the same word. Confession. Submission. When we say on Yom Kippur, vidui, confession. Same word. Vidui, vav dalid. It's the same root, essentially, as modeh, nodeh, modim, etc.
So isn't every prayer, in fact, include thanks because of recognition?
I agree.
The fact that you're asking Hashem to restore the Holy of Holies, you're saying, we know you can do it, and we're thanking you for doing
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. And what separates it from the previous request for, remember where our question was, the previous request, Shema Koleinu, was, please God accept our prayers. Then Ritzei comes with the same phrase, please God accept our prayers. So the thing is that in the paragraph in the Tehillim that is about saying thank you, it's Tehillim chapter 100, Kuf. It begins with the words Mizmor Lesoda. We say it in the morning in Shachris. So in Mizmor Lesoda, which is Tehillim Kuf, it says, sing out in song to Hashem, the whole land. In other words, it begins with Mizmor Lesoda, a psalm of thanksgiving. That word, Todah, Lesoda, okay, when pronounced Ashkenazic, is means Lit Todah. Okay? Yeah. Exactly. I told you some things might go over people's heads.
Soda.
Soda stream.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So now, right after we say the land should call to God, it says, Ivdu es Hashem besimcha. Serve Hashem with joy. Bo lefanav birnana. Come in front of him with song. That, by the way, is a great song. If you're not familiar with the Diaspora Yeshiva Band version of Ivdu es Hashem besimcha from the 1980s, find it. It's awesome. Now, then it says like this. Deu ki Hashem hu Elokim. Know that God is God. Hu asanu. He made us. Velo anach. What's that?
Is that word noda is the same? Noda, let it be known?
No. Deu is with an ayin. There's no ayin in it. Yeah.
That's for knowledge.
Deu, from the word ladat, right? Yada. That Hashem is God. Hu asanu. He made us. Velo anachnu. And we belong to him. Amo v'tzon mariso. Essentially saying, we are his nation, and we are the sheep of his shepherding. Okay? Marito. Get that? Okay, so now.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You listen to how it goes. It doesn't say thank you. It says, serve him. Ivdu. It says, know him. Recognize. The fact is that where David HaMelech describes being thankful, he says serve. The service of Hashem is the only true thanks. Because the service of Hashem is the only true recognition. I mean, it's all cute. Oh, Hashem is so good to me. You know, I want you to know there's so many phrases in English that if you're sensitive to these things, they're bothersome. We shouldn't walk around the world critical, but it's you see these things and you say, look, the way the use of the word prayer is in America, you know, the elected officials say our prayers are with. What does that even mean? You know, we extend our prayers to. You know, when after September 11th, told this story before.
Never say thoughts and prayers.
Right. After September 11th, my wife was expecting Leah, and she was in Atlanta on the events of September 11th, and I was learning yeshiva in Baltimore. She was supposed to come home for Rosh Hashanah. Okay, but no planes. So I got a ride from Baltimore to Atlanta to spend Rosh Hashanah together with my wife and my baby. I was back in yeshiva already, but they were spending still time at home and, you know, at my in-laws. I came down to Atlanta. This is maybe 5 days after September 11th. And a bus passes me by on Briarcliff Road, if any of you know Atlanta. And the bus company in Atlanta is called MARTA, M-A-R-T-A, Metro Atlanta Rail and Transit Authority. Okay? Like Chicago has the CTA, and I guess here they have Valley Metro. So there it's called MARTA. Everybody calls it MARTA. So the Briarcliff bus is passing by, and it has a digital readout. And it says, the digital readout changes from Briarcliff 38 or whatever it is, and it changes to MARTA's prayers are with the victims of terrorism. MARTA ain't got no prayers. It's impossible. It's impossible. What is real? You see, it's lip service. What is real prayer and service and thanks and recognition? It's only Avodas Hashem. It's only the service of Hashem. You can't really say, you can say it, but it's not real, that I recognize. So what does it mean when I say, I'm saying thank you to Hashem? Avoda and Hoda is Chada Milsa. The service of Hashem and the thanking Hashem, that's one thing. I'm very thankful. So therefore I do your will. Therefore I do what you told me. I'm very appreciative. Like a child says to a parent, thank you so much for all you did for me. And then goes and violates their rules right in front of them. It's impossible, right? An employee says to a boss, you know, you've been so good to me over all these years. Just hold on. I got to take this call, and tells the competitor exactly the inside secrets. It's impossible, right? He's thanking me in service, means recognition, recognition. All of this comes from recognizing that the source of it all is Hashem. And recognizing the source of it all is Hashem is different than asking that his prayers be received. Let me explain this. Shema Kolenu is the last statement of receive our of request. It's a statement, please, at the end of all this, I said health, I said wealth, I said, you know, the ingathering of the exiles, whatever I said. It ends with a catch-all of please hear our prayers. And that, by the way, is the place where you can insert other prayers. And you can insert into that bracha other prayers. You know, you need something, whatever it may be. You can, in your own language, you can put it in there.
When is it?
Shema Kolenu. In Shema Kolenu, in the very last prayer of the requests. Already in Ritzei, where you're making the same statement, please accept our prayers, you're not allowed to add requests. Why? This isn't a request. The action that goes on during that period of the davening is not a request. It is a statement that requesting that we've already done, let it find favor in front of you, because here I am, a thanker, and a thanker is aware that a thanker serves. And a thanker who serves is saying, I want to serve you, which means I want to serve you with the rebuilding of Jerusalem and the recreation of that form of service. But the form of service I have now, the package is now closed. And the package is now closed, but as a thank you, I'm saying, at your service. And I continue to request, because now the act of requesting is the act of recognition. And let's explain that a little further. I spoke about this on Shabbos just a few weeks ago. There's a statement in the Talmud that it is a very, very, very lofty thing. You go straight to Olam Haba. You get straight to the next world. Your ticket is punched to the life of the next world. If you go straight from the prayer of saying that God, you are the Savior of Israel, straight into davening. The Gaal Yisrael that precedes Shemoneh Esrei, right into the davening. For that, if you do that thing that we all do all the time, Ben Olam Haba, go straight to the next world. So many of the early commentators are bothered by this. Like, it's that easy? How could it be that easy?
Kaddish in between.
In Marav, but not at Shachris. Right. And that needs explanation also, because even there it's called connected. But that requires explanation. But at Shachris, it goes straight in, right? So this is what the Talmud says. Rashi comments and Tosfos comments and Rabbeinu Yonah comments and the Ritva comments. Everyone wants to know, what's the big deal? So Rabbeinu Yonah says something really beautiful. I just said this a couple weeks ago in Shul. He says that if you really recognize that God is the one who saves you, that he's the one who's authored Jewish history and we've been taken care of, you really get that, of course you're going to go straight into prayer. The greatest evidence that you're thankful is that you request more. The greatest evidence that you recognize and admit that he's the author of your salvation, not you, the greatest recognition of that is that you say, as I said a few weeks ago, I realize I'm sitting with the banker. He's the one who wrote the check before. Now I'm sitting with the banker. I ask for more. It sounds like it's ungrateful. Yeah. Ask for tomorrow's well-being. If he's the author of today's well-being or yesterday's well-being, then ask for today's well-being and tomorrow's well-being.
But aren't you more busy thanking Hashem by serving him?
Correct, but part of that recognition that flows, including in the service, is pining and asking the author. In other words, let's say you know there's only one supplier of oxygen.
More stuff.
Well, if you need stuff, you're asking for more stuff.
But that seems like you're demanding a quid pro quo.
No, it's not like that at all. Okay. It's actually a fulfillment of recognizing that what I'm trying to drive at is recognition's the whole story. Knowing that he's the author of it all. My father-in-law said to me that the whole secret to davening with kavana, with intent, is found in two things. Just said this when he was visiting recently. He said, number one ingredient is that you believe that Hashem can do it. You really recognize that he's the author of it. Number two is that you believe that what you're asking for is important. You want it. You believe that he's the one who can author it, and you want that. So if you find yourself, well, I'm not really praying so strongly for the rebuilding of a Davidic dynasty. Maybe because you don't really care so much. But I'm really davening for, you know, or the well-being of an ill person or whatever it may be, right? Or a Cadillac, right? That I'm really davening for. Because I realize the Cadillac is not just, you know, somebody asked me a shaila yesterday that involved a question of saving money. To something that was not necessarily advisable in this timetable, but it'll be a good deal. But there's months before they need it. And for whatever halachic reasons or quasi-halachic reasons, it wasn't advisable. I said, trust the Ribbono Shel Olam can fill the void. You don't have to do that now because Kadosh Baruch Hu is the author of it. He can't give it, you know, if the Black Friday deal seems like the best deal, he's not going to come with the President's Day deal. You know, Kadosh Baruch Hu can fill the void. You know, you sit there and you say, I needed to buy that thing. It was on Yontif, but I need to buy it. So I sent somebody else. No, Ribbono Shel Olam can take care of it. He's the author. He's the one who takes care of everything. He's the source. He's the source. So if you know he's the source for real, of course you're going to ask him for it. If you know that your oxygen tomorrow is dependent on him, the well-being of the country, the health of your family, everything, he's the source. So that is hakara. That is recognition. Recognition is hodah. It is bimoda, being admitting, being submitting to this reality. And that's thanking. And that is asking. Asking is also a fullest sense of fulfillment. So ritzei, which sounds like asking, is really the beginning of thanking. Because thanking really includes asking. That's the idea. Because he's the banker. He's holding all the cards, all the cash, all the everything. Right? So that's the idea here. And that's why in the prayer for Thanksgiving, the song, the Psalm of Thanksgiving, it says, serve and know. Because to know will really propel you to serve. And to serve, avoda, wanting that God's service should always be there, that's the beginning of saying thank you. Okay, now, last question. And this question was posed some time ago, not long ago. It's a very important question. The Talmud in Maseches Sota on Daf Mem, on page 40a, says the following. It says, when the Chazan gets to the point where he says, modim, which we now know means when he comes to saying we acknowledge or we admit or we recognize, what should the congregation do? That's the question. The Talmud does not ask this question about any other blessing. And as you well know, there is no other blessing that during the blessing, instead of listening, we're speaking. So he gets to modim. And we all say a paragraph that has in later generations come to be known as Modim Derabbanan, the rabbi's Modim. It's called Modim Derabbanan because the answers in the Talmud that flow from it were several rabbis gave their opinions, and Rav Papa, who was a latter authority of the Talmud, says his line that he says many places, and this really requires investigation for the Talmudists here, why he's always the one who says this phrase. I don't know why it is. But he says, therefore, let's say like all of them. And so Modim Derabbanan is a compilation of several responses to the question, and that's what we do. So now what is it? It is this. Modim Anachnu Lach, Shatahu Hashem Elokeinu Elokei Avoseinu. Translated here as we gratefully thank you. I believe the translation properly is we admit, we submit, we recognize. For it is you who are Hashem, our God, and the God of our forefathers, the God of all flesh, our molder, the molder of the universe. Blessings and thanks are due your great and holy name, for you have given us life and sustained us. So may you continue to give us life and sustain us and gather our exiles to the courtyards of our sanctuary to observe your decrees, to do your will, and to serve you wholeheartedly. We thank you, and this is the phrase that Rav in the Talmud in Sota says, Modim Anachnu Lach, and there it means we thank you, Al She'anachnu Modim Lach, upon the fact that we thank you. Translated here as for inspiring us to thank you. But that's the word inspiring is not really found here. Modim Anachnu Lach, Al She'anachnu Modim Lach. We thank you, upon we thank you. Blessed is the God of thanksgivings. Baruch Yal Ha'odos. What's the meaning of that? Modim Anachnu Lach, Al She'anachnu Modim Lach.
There must be opportunity.
Continue. Yeah, I agree.
Well, I guess if we didn't have Hashem to thank, they wouldn't be able to thank him. You know, this circular reasoning, but it boils down to the same thing that you can't live without him if you have any inkling that he exists. And if he exists, then you have to be thankful for him and to him all the time for allowing you to be thankful to him.
You said it beautifully. You said it beautifully. Beautifully.
Sure.
No. It's a hard thing to say. Modim Anachnu Lach, Al She'anachnu Modim Lach. So let me say it like this. When you say thank you, first of all, let's answer the question I started with. What in the world are we doing speaking at all? The answer is that no one can say thank you for you. Thank you is an admission. Thank you is a submission. Thank you is a moment of humility. It means that without you, I wouldn't have this. When I say thank you, what I'm saying is I am incomplete. I couldn't have done it. It's this accomplishment is the combination of your input and my input, and some other people's input maybe, and some other forces' input. I'm not so mishuga to believe that it is me and only me. That's why some people have trouble saying thank you. Some people have trouble saying thank you because they're not good at being moda, at admitting. Right? They can't admit, so they can't say thank you, because thank you is an admission. So modim anachnu lach. So therefore, you can't answer for somebody else. I can't send an agent to say thank you, because that's not humility. That's not submission. So here he's saying thank you. He's bent over and bowed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You got to join in. This probably is also related to the fact that a halacha is that if you hear a congregation saying Aleinu, you have to say Aleinu with them, even if you're not up to that point. Why? Because you can't have other people saying, V'anachnu, and we, korimu mishtachavim, we bend our knees and we bow down to you, Hashem. And I'm sitting there standing up. You know, like I'm not bowing down there. You can't have somebody else do that as your agent. You have to submit. You have to admit. That's what bowing is. And what are you thanking on? The ultimate thing. The ultimate thing, the thanks beyond the thanks is, even for the thanks, I'm nothing. I am nothing. It's total self-negation. It's total realization that you're the source. You're the source even for my ability and recognition to be thankful. Or you might even say it a different way. Modim anachnu lach, al she'anachnu modim lach. We thank you upon the fact that we recognize you. Modim anachnu lach, al she'anachnu modim lach. We thank you because we're aware. And how do we, and even the awareness. See, if you say thank you and you don't say thank you for the thank you, then that's me. Then I'm left over here separate. But if you get it that you're all enclosed within Hashem's kindness, then even for the thank you, I have to say thank you. It's an extremely powerful set of words. Modim anachnu lach al she'anachnu modim lach.
So recognition is so important that the first of the Aseret HaDibrot is really knowing God, recognizing God, because if you don't recognize God, nothing else follows. If you do recognize God, everything else follows.
Exactly right. Exactly right. Rav Weinberg, the Rosh Hashiva, Zichrono Livracha, my wife's grandfather, he used to say that you can't fulfill the mitzvah of believing in God, lishma, meaning out of great intent. Because until you recognize that you believe in Hashem, you can't do it because God told me to do it. Right? It's the starting point of everything. And that's why the Rambam, when he organizes the book of mitzvot, and he has the, I say this with all due respect, he has the amazing audacity to organize the Sefer HaMitzvos in the order of their prominence. Unbelievable that somebody could write a book and describe that. And he said, what's first? Of course it's emunah. Of course it's knowledge of God. Yediya, knowledge of God, recognition. Mm-hmm. So this modim is a big thing. It's recognition. And that's, to review, that's why hodah and avodah is one thing. Thank you and service is one thing because they're all recognition. And the difference between shema kolenu and avodah is that the shema kolenu is that last request. But the avodah, the ritzei, is recognition that you're the source of it all. So of course I have to request again. Mm-hmm. And this is all part of being thankful. And it's all a fulfillment. Actually, I forgot this point of that word shevach at the beginning. Mm-hmm. Remember we said that shevach is what you do at the beginning, you praise. Mm-hmm. And then you do shevach v'odaya, praise and thanks. Mm-hmm. Because thanks is praise. Thanks is a form of praise. That's why hallel, which is praise, the hallel hagadol, the big hallel, begins with the words, hodu l'Hashem ki tov ki lo amchasto. Hodu means thanks.
Mm-hmm. Right? Hallel is another word for shevach.
Hallel and shevach is the same thing essentially. Yeah. Okay. So with this, we're going to stop.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.